Oh, baby, do we have a lot of shine for you folks today, because we are the DFS Army Fantasy Football Show, and boys, can you believe it? We are less than 1 week away from the regular season. Thursday night, we got games. It's coming. It's coming fast. And guess what? It's a little cliche for the industry. Everybody and their dog who has a podcast does this show. But guess what? There's a reason. Sometimes you got to just play the hits. We are today talking about a bold called show. I got, of course, my guy, Brandon Adam. We got Mike Dickinson. And boys, man, we got some spicy ones today. But what's more interesting, and actually what I'm looking forward to the most for the people, is that trash bag, Flex Matt, sent us a trash bag of takes that we're going to be reading off. And here's going to be my favorite part. I'm going to read it word for word later on. This is just, you know, a little bit later in the show for the people. And just we can feel how trashy it is. And just a little window into what we deal with every day with Flex Matt. Of course, boys, where do we hail from? We hail from DFSArmy.com, DFSArmy.com. And I hope that y'all took advantage of that 25% off, because guess what? As of September 1, that early discount is gone. It's gone. But don't worry, Mike. Don't worry, Brandon. We still got something for the people. If you go to DFSArmy.com, use code NFL23. That's NFL23. You're still going to save 15% off of a VIP, a Core 4, or an NFL-only membership over at DFSArmy.com. Go hit it up. It's going to be the best thing. It's probably going to go until about the end of week one. So you have a week to get an additional 5% off. And then from there on, it's about 10% off. Still not bad. Still going to save you a little bit of cash, but certainly not as lucrative. Gentlemen, as they like to say, let's not bury the lead, because we got some bold, bold takes, baby, for the people. Mike, I'm going to kick it to you first, because listen, I know Brandon. I see his eyes. Yes. I see he's gleaming. Mike, give me your first, I'm assuming, wet blanket, cold take of the season, baby.
I don't know if this is actually a wet blanket cold take. It's kind of spicy. It might throw a little bit of cold water on some maybe some New England fans, maybe some truthers out there. But wait, shit, hold on a second. Yeah.
This all right. Is
let me finish this and I'll be there. Boys, Bill Belichick just called me. He's calling me to come play wide receiver for the New England Patriots, which means that they are in the shit when it comes to wide receiver, which is also dovetailing right into my first hot take. My first hot take, bold call, spicy insight, whatever the F you want to call it, is that both Ramondre Stevenson and Zeke Elliott will finish as RB2s this season. So when you look at it across the spectrum, Zeke was off last year. He was terrible. He clearly wasn't right. His yards per carry were down. First time in his career, he carried for under 4 yards per carry. But does it really matter? He's still got those good touches inside the 20s. He got the high value touches. And when you look at what is going on in New England, so their starting wide receiver is their wide receiver one is Juju Smith-Schuster. They got Tyquan Thornton and they got Devontae Parker listed as their other two starting wide receivers. Bill O'Brien's back there. And I think that if you look at the way Belichick has typically structured his offense and has run his teams and his game plans, he's kind of flown in the face of what convention is. So you saw 2007, the year that Brady threw for 50 yards and Randy Moss broke fantasy football. That was way before everybody, the entire NFL, was out in these mild. Oh, this is years before anybody else was out in this high-flying, running gun, the pass-happy offenses. So You look at the AFC East. They got the Bills, they got the Dolphins, and they got the reshaped, reformed, magical New York Jets. You know, the hard knock starlings. Everybody's rooting for them. Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner. Somehow, all three are going to tie for MVP this year. First time ever. We're going to have three co-MVPs from the same team. So you look at what Belichick's plan could be. I think that his plan is going to be to run, play ball control, keep those other offenses on the sideline as much as possible. Mac Jones is quarterback. Bill O'Brien's back. You look at the stable of tight ends. I think you're going to see a lot of 12 and a lot of 22 out of these guys, to be honest. And it makes sense because they don't have the horses. So in Bill Belichick's career, he has never had back-to-back seasons with 1,000-yard running backs. Ramondre Stevenson ran for 1,013 yards last year, which means if you look at his history, Stevenson will be under 1,000 yards this year. And I'm not saying he's not going to be viable. I think he's still going to be active in the passing game. I think he's still going to see a lot of work in the passing game. He can stay on the field all three downs. But if you look at what Zeke replaced in Damian Harris did not have a three down skill set. He was a plotter. He was a runner, and he wasn't right last year. He had a handful of games where he posted RB1, RB2 usable numbers. But I think that when you look at it, one of the reasons they were attracted to a Zeke, you look at who they brought in. They brought in Zeke, they brought in Fournette, they brought in Dalvin Cook. They brought in three running backs and ultimately signed Zeke, three running backs who can be on the field all three downs, who it doesn't tip your hat when this guy comes on. So I think that they plan to do, I think you're going to see about a one-thirds, two-thirds timeshare. Stevenson on the field two-thirds of the time, Zeke on the field a third of the time. And where you're getting him right now, you're getting him in the 10th, 11th round. Is it outlandish to think he's going to have, I mean, Zeke is the last 4 years, if you take 22 out of the mix, Zeke had 91, 77, 77, and 66 targets in Dallas. So he's obviously a factor in the passing game. I don't think it is out of the realm of possibility to see him get 60 targets, to get those high value touches inside the 20. We heard it over the course of the preseason. Coaches said they wanted to keep Stevenson's touch snap shares down. We heard it from Stevenson himself. I haven't been on the field as much this year. I don't know why. And I think it all has to do with preservation. I think that he's on his rookie deal. I think they want to preserve him. I think they want to play a slow, plodding offense. I think they're going to have a very slow pace of play. I think they're going to post as few offensive snaps as possible to keep those other offenses on the sideline, especially in their division games.
Jeez, I don't even, like, I feel like, Brandon, you can take this one. I got a few things to say, but I'm gonna save it. Like, we're both kind of just stunned with this take break. Like, this is like the Allen's take last year.
I'm so disappointed. We saw Zeke run straight off the RB cliff last year. Why the hell would you even care about his signing? Like, why? I don't care what people think, that he can have 30 red zone looks on the one and he ain't gonna score that often. It doesn't matter. He is too far gone. He is not gonna get the carries that you think he's gonna get. But that's fine. I really don't care. Ramondre Stevenson was RB7 and he had less than 60% of the total snap share. So he doesn't need the full workload to get to be RB1 status. So and that was with Ramondre only getting 5 touchdowns. So I really don't see how you can think that he's going to fall out of RB1 territory just because Zeke's signing. Zeke is just, he's not it. He's not a guy. Like, I think Bill is going to see this by week 6, week 7. He's going to be like, this guy is just toast. And he's not going to be using him at all.
It's that Patriots running back depth chart is just it's scary. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, obviously, our sweet, beautiful baby boy, Pierre Strong, was traded away to the Cleveland Browns. As a Patriots fan, that was devastating to me. Kevin Harris, everybody was saying, okay, it's going to be Kevin Harris season. Nah, he's on the practice squad. So it's really going to be Zeke. And to Mike's point, if it's going to be a run heavy scheme, which it probably will be, because they're going to rely on their solid defense, because that's how the Patriots are going to win games this year. It's not on their offense. It's on their defense.
Let's just move on. Keep going. Yeah.
I think just one little funny thing here. So I started drafting when I was preparing for the show today. I was going to have Juju Smith-Schuster as outperforming his ADP, and I wasn't sure quite where. But the more I dug into it, I'm just like, even in a bold take show, I don't have a strong take on Juju Smith-Schuster finishing above where he's going in ADP. So, Mike, it's on brand. I think essentially you're saying that we're overdrafting Ramondre Stevenson and we're underdrafting Ezekiel Elliott. That's essentially what your take is, because Ramondre is going as the RB8 right now. But
is he really that high?
She bowl, baby. What's that?
If he's RB10, going RB8, he shouldn't be going RB8.
He's going to RB10. I have him as my RB8 ranked. It's the RB10 is where he's going. Good point, Brandon. Still, as an RB1 is where he's going definitively in round 3. So, yeah. Bold, baby. It's bold.
We'll see.
Let's get us back on the damn rails for the people, right? Because people, like, listen, it's like betting the under. It's not exciting. It's not sexy. Let's bet the over. Give me a bold take, Brandon, for this season.
The return of Darren Waller. Darren Waller is going to receive 140 plus targets, and he's going to score double digit touchdowns, and he's going to score at least 320 fantasy points for tight end position, and he will smash, and he'll be tight end one on the season.
Tight end one on the season. That's bold, baby. Let's talk about it though. So unpack that for the people. Tight end one, for those who are counting at home, means he's going to be outscoring and outproducing Travis Kelce is going around one. So give me the bold take here, or give me the story behind the bold take.
In his best year, that was as a Raider, he received 143 targets and he became tight end two. I think Kansas City has a fair amount of decent wide receivers this year at the talent position. I don't think they have a dominant one, but I think they have a hodgepodge of enough guys to catch balls to take some of that away from Kelce. I think they are starting to understand Kelce is not a spring chicken. I understand he led the league in yak last year, and he's getting older. I get Tony Gonzalez was there. He played forever. You can play forever as a tight end, but at some point, Andy Reid's got to think about preservation from the regular season to keep them healthy for the playoffs, right? Keep the older guys fresh for the playoffs. That's what matters. So I just think it's Darren Waller is that kind of freaky talent at the position where his opportunity is going to be massive. He's going to have the biggest target share for any tight end in the league, competing with Kelce, on brand with Kelce. So I just feel that the Giants will take a step forward, and I feel I just have huge confidence in Brian Daboll going to get Darren Waller. And I feel like for everything I've seen, he's going to compete for that tight end one position. It's going to be a dogfight, but I think this is a bold call, right? Somebody's got to unseat Kelce. I think Waller can do it this year.
It's not. Listen, the industry is generally in consensus with you, right? Like we keep looking at the NFSC rankings, and TJ Hawkinson and Darren Waller are going back and forth as the tight end three. They're just flipped again. Well, they flipped back. So Hawks again now one spot ahead of Darren Waller. When you go back 3 days,
yeah, signed the signing.
We got the little signing bonus, which is good. But does that make a difference for this season? It's basically like. News. Hawks literally ADP of 49.98 and Darren Waller is 50.56. So they're effectively going pick your poison. Both are going to be good picks. And I like the fact that Brandon, go ahead. Sorry.
And if this happens, Daniel Jones will be jumping into the top five QB position. Woo-hoo. If this happens, if this range of outcomes happens, we are going to see a big leap for Daniel Jones.
I wouldn't go that far personally. I think where Daniel Jones is going in ADP is a pretty sweet spot, just because to perform where we're projecting him, right around that quarterback 10 to 12, right, is generally where he's going. For him to actually get there, in addition to the rushing upside, he's going to need a reliable passing option, like a Darren Waller. If Darren Waller flops and none of these wide receivers hit, like Daniel Jones could finish as the QB
where he's been
13 to 17, right? Kind of where he's been historically. Last year was his breakout season, but he'll finish he'll turn back into a pumpkin. But I like that idea. I mean, we've talked about it before. I'm not a big Jalen Hyatt guy. I like him, but there's certainly people in the industry that are far, far higher on him than myself, including you, Brandon Adam. But it's not a bad take. It's not a bad take. We got a question from Bali in the chat here, and this is more so for Mike Dickinson. So based off your take with Ramondre Stevenson, where would you take Pierce or Stevenson in PPR? And listen, I guess you can't really do these things in a vacuum because they're going significantly different. But at their ADPs, would you rather have Pierce in, say, round five, round six, or Ramondre Stevenson around three, round four?
So I guess it all really depends on how you're going to construct your roster and what you're going to
stop
do.
It.
So,
cop out,
Mike. Stop
it. In a vacuum, it's Stevenson. But
okay,
thank you.
But if you want to go, if you say you want to try and grab a Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes stack, you got to take that. You got to take that in the beginning part. You got to take Kelce in the beginning part of round one, and you got to grab Mahomes either late round two, early round three, and it boxes you out from taking Stevenson. So if that's the route that you want to go, like if that's how you want to build your team, then then build your team that way. But in a vacuum, it's obviously Stevenson. I mean, it obviously is. He's got the height, you know, he's got a little bit more NFL experience. He's bigger. He's proven that he can do it. There's durability issues with Damian Pierce. They also brought in Devin Singletary. So it's obviously Stevenson, but you can make a case. You can make a case that Pierce is a fine option depending on your roster construction.
Yeah, and then you just look at the team situation. Like, I know the Patriots aren't going to be a barn burner this year, but they're going to be better than the Houston Texans. I think they're going to be in scoring position more often than the Houston Texans, and you better believe Ramondre Stevenson is going to get the rock at the goal line. So I agree with that take. Even after ADPs, I'd still rather have Ramondre Stevenson on my team.
Yeah.
Okay, boys, so this is a take that I didn't think would be bold. You know, 3 months ago when there was a little bit of uncertainty, this might have been a bold take, but hey, range of outcomes that makes sense. But ADP has not corrected, which has me scratching my head a little bit. But I have Joe Mixon will finish as a top five running back this year. And currently, why is this bold? Mike, you're saying, yeah, of course Joe Mixon is going to finish as a top. No, because he's being drafted as the RB13. And yeah, the only thing that's changed this year versus last year when he finished as the RB7, RB8, depending on your format, was there's less competition. There's less competition, right? We all know about Samaje Perine. And the biggest hit was Joe Mixon sucks in the passing game. Or not so much he sucks in the passing game, in the pass protection game, right? Samaje Perine is a tank. He's 5'11", he's 233 pounds. He's a tough body to move, which is why he was playing on third downs. But when you look at the competition this year on the Cincinnati Bengals, we got Trevion Williams, sixth-round pick in 2019. On his career, boys, he has 8 receptions. He's 5'8", 206 pounds. Doesn't really move the needle. Yeah, Chris Evans, who was also a sixth-round pick in 2021, for his career, 18 receptions. He's 5'11", 211 pounds. Okay, that's a little bit more stout in the passing game. He's a little bit more stronger for pass protection. And then the rookie this year, fifth-round pick, Chase Brown. We love this guy's athleticism. You know, he ran the 4.43 40. He's 5'10", he's 219 pounds. We like the fact that he had an 8.2% college target share, which is acceptable, right? So he's pretty good in the passing game. One of the biggest criticisms on Chase Brown coming into the NFL, he's not just an okay pass blocker. He doesn't just need work in a pass blocking game. He sucks at pass blocking, okay? For those of you who watched the Senior Bowl and paid attention to the Senior Bowl week where he's competing against similar level competition or higher level college competition, he got his ass kicked in the pass blocking game, okay? So that's a big, big worry for me. You got Joe Mixon. He's a tank. He's 6'1", 228 pounds. We still all project the Cincinnati Bengals to be a really strong offense this year.
Oh, yes.
So he's going to get the opportunity. And listen, last year, snap share, 65.4%. That's number 10 in the league. Opportunity share, which is what we really care about. He ranked number 7. I think he's going to continue. He's going to continue to be efficient. And you continue to get 40, 50 receptions. Easily opportunity to finish as a top 5. I just don't understand why the ADP isn't corrected. What am I missing here, Mike?
So I think that the real issue with the ADP was that everybody was worried that his legal issues were going to pop up at some point in time, and he was a real threat to miss 4 to 6 games. Mm-hmm. We saw how long it took with Alvin Kamara. That was on video, and it took an entire season plus for him to work all the way through, and he missed 3 games. Middle of last month on the 17th, he was found not guilty of those. It was like an aggravated assault misdemeanor charge. So he's cleared of all those. Same thing happened with Tyreek. No charges are going to be pressed. So I don't think the league feels it needs to do anything about it. I don't think the league feels it needs to do anything about it in the mixing case. And I really think it's just one of those effects that people missed it in the news cycle, and the ADP just is not corrected, because there's still some analysts out there that are talking about the fact that his legal issues still could pop up and he still could miss time. It's a false narrative. It's not going to happen. He's going to be on the field 80% of the time in a top 5 offense, an offense, quite honestly, that needs to put up points to win, because their defense is not that great. They're going to be in the hunt for the number 1 seed in the AFC. They're going to be playing to win every single game, and he's going to be a big part of it. You saw all the pushback 2 years ago and all the criticism that Zach Taylor took when he took Mixon off the field in that last drive of the Super Bowl when they lost to the Rams. And now here we are 2 years later saying he's not even going to be an RB1. I think it's asinine. I think it's gone way too far, and it needs to be corrected.
It should be corrected. And the funny thing is, Mike has not been a Mixon guy. That for him to say, good, like, you need to be drafting Mixon, that means it's a great value, so do it.
Okay. But Mike, before I get to you with your second bold call, I got to read one of these trash bag ones from Matt.
Yes,
and listen, okay. This is more so just because it makes me laugh. But I'm going to read this word for word, and I'm going to ask if you guys can get out your decoder rings and tell me what the hell Flex Matt is trying to go after here, okay? This is word for word what he sent me, Mike, okay? All right. I need to get, like, my little spectacles on. All right. Jaylen Warren has an exactly similar stat line to Tony Pollard the year before he completely broke out. Over 100 rush attempts, over 700 rushing yards, over 35 receptions for over 300 yards. And where he has since Pollard similarly is that his TD total moves from 2 for Pollard into the 5 zone. So, Mike, I'm going to throw that to you. What the hell was the take? What's the bold take there? Please tell me. This is what I'm dealing with, people.
I think the bold take is that Jaylen Warren rockets himself up to RB2. And honestly, I've heard this a lot. I've heard this from a lot of people. Yeah. There's a lot of Najee Harris hate going on out there.
Yeah.
I think that people look at the season that he had last year and they think that, yes, this is what Najee Harris is. He is a below 4 yards per carry guy. He doesn't collect yardage after first contact. He's terrible. He's a plotter. He was overdrafted. The Steelers are going to now all of a sudden move to a split system where they're running two backs through there. And I think that I think that the hate on Harris has gone way too far. Now, if you look at it, he's corrected up where he's now going as the RB9. And I think that that's probably the right place for him to go. I think that when you look at the issues that he had last year, Pittsburgh's line was absolutely terrible. So what did they do? They went out and they grabbed Isaac Seumalo from the Eagles in free agency. He's one of the best guards in the game. I was pissed that the Eagles let him go because he was such a big part of what they did last year. Like, he was part of that offensive line. And then they drafted a right tackle. The Steelers know that their line needs to get better. They went out and they improved it. Kenny Pickett's got his second year in the offense. Matt Canada's going to open up way more of the playbook to him. The passing game is better. We've seen highlight after highlight after highlight from George Pickens, which means that Harris isn't going to be facing as many loaded boxes. So now he was facing – I'm sure he faced – I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'm sure he faced a bunch of 8-man boxes because they were worried about the fact – they weren't worried about the fact that Kenny Pickett was going to throw on him. So you look at Najee Harris's first year, his rookie season, with the ghost of Big Ben Roethlisberger. Najee was the RB2. So ostensibly what we're saying is that the offense is going to be way worse under Kenny Pickett than it was under Roethlisberger his last year. And Harris is going to plummet down, and Jaylen Warren is now going to jump up and take all that work. If you look historically at the way that the Pittsburgh Steelers have run their offense, they have had a bell cow back. It's been one back that carries a majority of the load. They had it with Le'Veon Bell. They had it with James Conner, and then they had it with Najee Harris last year. Even when Harris was hurt, he had the Lisfranc injury. He had a plate in his foot the majority of the year. Even in that situation, with Jaylen Warren still on the roster and Anthony McFarland on the roster, who, by the way, played under Matt Canada at the University of Maryland, even with those two backs on the field, Najee Harris was still on the field for a majority of the work. I don't see any reason why that changes, and I think that there's just a ton of hate. I think it's cool to say that Harris is being overdrafted and that Jaylen Warren is going to skyrocket up. And it's one of those hot take lottery tickets where if it cashes, you look like a genius, and if it doesn't, you say, well, Jaylen Warren was going in the 12th round, the 13th round. He was never going to hit anyway. It is what it is.
Yeah, I think that's pretty sharp. So you were talking about average defenders in the box. When I look at Najee Harris last year, on average, there were 6.55 average defenders in the box. You look at Jaylen Warren, 6.44. So it's effectively, they didn't change formations, whether it was Najee Harris or Jaylen Warren. One of the biggest things was that people hated the fact that Najee Harris would get stuffed at the line more often. His stuff rate was 16% last year. Jaylen Warren's was 13%. So it's not, 12%. So it's not like there's a dramatically different stuff rate. And then the other thing too is that, you know, just from an eye test perspective, people were saying Jaylen Warren looks explosive. Well, you know, when I look at his combine results, he had a 4.455 40 yard dash, which is a 64th percentile. Okay, fine. Right. But he has a 96.6% speed score, which is only a 52nd percentile. And then you look at the burst score, it's only a 43rd percentile. So from an athleticism perspective, Najee Harris is a better athlete than Jaylen Warren. So yeah, it's fine. It's kind of the sexy take this year, you know, but it's more so of an eye test take versus a the numbers actually showing it out as far as I'm concerned with Jalen Warren. But yeah, no, he's certainly one of those sexy guys. It's like the Tank Bigsby's of the world, right? These are like the high. And we just had a handcuff show this week. For those of you who are listening, go check it out on the YouTube channel. Go check it out on the podcast feed. We just talked about some of our favorite handcuff running backs. And we like Jalen Warren, but I don't think he's going to be, unless there's an injury to Najee Harris, I don't see him being really fantasy relevant. And at best, he'll be maybe a flex play in deeper leagues.
Yep.
Brian, you got a take on this or should we move on?
No, move on.
Set it off. I'm good. All right, let's move on. All right, Michael. Actually, you know what? Let's throw it to Brandon because, Mike, you just had a nice take on the Steelers there. Give me your bold take, Brandon.
Trevor Lawrence is going to be a top four quarterback this year. He'll be part of the Mount Rushmore this season in 2023 due to the fact the dog himself is returning, Calvin Ridley. The guy looks phenomenal. He looks exactly what we were hoping to see. He is explosive. He's in shape. He is catching the ball, and his feet are faster than ever. Adding a wide receiver that is a wide receiver one that will end up finishing top 10. Listen up. He will finish top 10. I see Trevor Lawrence skyrocketing up into the above 650 attempts this year. And I see 35 touchdowns. It's going to be a big jump. Trevor Lawrence is going to be a part of the big boys. And we're going to start viewing him as one of the guys behind Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's pretty sharp. And it's like one of the things people don't really think of Trevor Lawrence as a rushing quarterback, but he still had 62 yes. carries last year, which mm-hmm. that's a decent, like when we define, at least, you know, this is a general thought, like to define a quote running quarterback, like you want at least 80 to 90 carries. So 60 isn't a running quarterback. It's a quarterback that can run. So you like the fact that he can get first down with his feet. I'm on board with you, Brandon. I think generally the industry is as well. The market is right now that Calvin Ridley is going to be that guy. There's definitely some people out there who are thinking he's going to be a bust.
We've been there early, though. We've been there so early. Mike and I, we've been so early on Calvin Ridley train. We've been drafting him when on Underdog as a wide receiver 2 or 3 back in early June. Like, this is crazy. Like, the amount of steam Ridley has gotten – it's awesome. I'm excited that we were that early on him.
I was tepid. I'll admit, I was tepid. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to be skeptical about Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
But we talked about it on our camp show, where when there's a consistent drumbeat coming from beat writers, he passes the eye test when you watch the videos. He looks good. He looks quick. You just hope that it can come all together in a real game situation. But yeah, T-Law, man. Okay. Brandon, do you think, say T-Law ascends to like a top 5, top 6 quarterback this year, which is right around where he's being drafted, right? So the industry agrees with you.
He's going, he's drafting around 8 or 9 right now. He's right behind Fields.
Okay. So, but he's in that range, right? So, yeah. When we looked at Trevor Lawrence as a prospect coming into the NFL, he was thought to be, you know, kind of like the next generational type prospect. I would, you know, use that in quotations, generational prospect in the lines of like an Andrew Luck type player. Obviously we all know what happened the first year as a rookie. That was just an absolute dumpster fire. Last year, he showed signs that maybe this is the guy. What is it going to take for him to meet those lofty expectations when he went into his career? Like what would you say? Okay. Yeah, he's hit. Brandon,
he needs to make a deep run into the playoffs and bring some hardware back to Jacksonville to actually live up to what he is supposed to live up to. I think this is I'm starting to get the same vibes as I got with old school Seattle Seahawks the year that we went down against Atlanta. We had a hard-fought game, lost that game. This is exactly the same kind of vibe I got for Jacksonville Jaguars this year, with them going down last year in the playoffs, making that little run against the Chargers. I just think the organization is prime. It's loaded with talent. The offense is even if Calvin Ridley fails a little bit, it doesn't matter. They have a lot of game breakers in that offense. I just think Trevor Lawrence just added one of the most premier route runners in the league, and Calvin Ridley has done nothing but prove that to me with everything I've seen. So I'm all in on Trevor Lawrence this year. I think he really takes a step forward, and we all go, why didn't we just draft him instead of drafting Lamar Jackson or you know, Justin Fields or whatever? Trevor Lawrence has that it factor. He just needs to get better at the deep ball. But Calvin really should help with that.
This is, and you probably don't have your rankings right in front of you, but if you were eyeballing it, where would you put Trevor Lawrence in Dynasty in terms of the QB rankings? Like, is he right there? Who would you rather have, Lamar Jackson or Trevor Lawrence?
Lawrence.
Okay, Lawrence. Who would you rather have, Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence?
Lawrence.
Who would you rather have, Josh Allen or Trevor Lawrence?
Allen.
What about Allen. Jalen Hurts?
Hurts.
Okay, so Lawrence. He's right around like the QB4.
Yeah, I haven't
met QB4. Whoa. Did you just say you'd rather have Lawrence over Hurts, Mike?
Yeah, I think I would.
Okay. All right. I'm done for the day.
Yes, I love that, dude. Yes.
Listen, they're side by side. I think for me, and this is a preference for me. As my conservative nature as a fantasy player, you look at Hurts, so much of Hurts' production is predicated on his ability to run. And if he gets hurt, Hurts gets hurt, that kind of goes away. He only threw for 3,700 yards last year. So much of his production was on the ground. He progressed as a passer. He 100% did. And by all accounts, he's going to progress as a passer again this year. Yep. I think as a locker room leader, he's great. But Lawrence has great character attributes too. I mean, he did not fold in that Urban Meyer year. He could have packed it in and said, you know what? I'm done. I'm just going to you know, go to work every day, keep my head down. But in the wake of all that, he kept the locker room up and going. And I think that you look at what the pre-draft analysis of him was. You look at what his profile was coming in. He was a five-star recruit going into college. He was the consensus number one overall pick coming into the NFL draft that year. I think that Jalen Hurts has the athletic profile, and Jalen Hurts has always been highly regarded as an athlete and a character guy. But it's one of those things where it's great now, but it feels like it's a little bit volatile.
I like it, man. I like it. I get what you're saying. I think, honestly, Jalen Hurts is going to be the MVP this year. I
can see that 100%.
MVP. Yeah. I think he's going to have a massive – he has so much room to go with the passing that he can just blow the doors off of fantasy football if he takes another step, which I think he can, because he's got so many weapons and they don't really have a great running back. So – I think they're going to start slinging it and let him rip it and treat him like an elite quarterback and let him go. So I see an MVP season incoming for Jalen Hurts.
One of the common narratives I'm hearing out there is that, well, a lot of takes are that they're not like the Eagles won't even finish as the number one seed in the division.
Crazy.
Because of that, I think it's cockamamie, frankly.
Crazy.
But because of the, you know, the whole concept of the Super Bowl hangover, right? But
I don't care. He's that Jalen kid. Hurts, that kid's made of the right stuff.
Yeah. Jalen Hurts is made of something different, right? Yeah. He thrives in adversity, right? You see, you talked about Trevor Lawrence. I agree. I think Trevor Lawrence thrives in adversity. We saw that as well. I think it's definitely a conversation. I'm still definitely taking my boy Jalen ahead of Trevor Lawrence, but yeah. It's close, right? Like if I miss out on Trevor Lawrence, miss out on Jalen Hurts and I'm stuck with Trevor Lawrence, like shit, that like I'm totally happy with that. Dude, that's fantastic.
Yeah, like, awesome.
All right. Another bold call, Brandon. Excuse me, Mike, give me a bold call, baby.
All right, so my next bold call, I am loving a Green Bay Packers wide receiver this year, but it is not the one that you think is. The wide receiver, shame.
I know.
The wide receiver I am in love with this year, especially at ADP, who I think has a very, very real possibility to finish as a wide receiver too. I'm not saying he's going to be a one. I think he has the ability to finish as a wide receiver too. You look at Romeo Dubs. So it's two things. It's opportunity and it's ability. So they took him. I think he went in the third round of the NFL draft last year. It was him and Watson were the two rookies that were there. And Lazard was there. Cobb was still there. You're wondering who was going to emerge. And you know, it was really a weird year. We all knew that Rodgers didn't want to be there. The coaches didn't want him there. He didn't want to be there. The front office didn't want him there. He begrudgingly showed up. And it wasn't anything special. But very, very quietly, Dubs had 67 targets. And then you look at what's been vacated this year. Randall Cobb left 50 targets and Alan Lazard vacated 100 targets. So there's 150 targets that are vacated. So obviously that's going to get spread out. That some of it's going to go to Aaron Jones. Some of it's going to go to Watson.
Reed.
Some of it's going to go to Dubs. Some of it's going to go to Musgrave. Like, I think that it's going to get spread out. And before you go and say they're going to run the ball more, they're going to be more conservative. Rodgers, in the last 3 years since LaFleur has been there, Rodgers hasn't thrown for over 541 attempts. He was like 535, 532, and 541. So it has not been a high-volume passing offense. So I think there's a little bit of room for the passing volume to increase, quite honestly. So you take the 67 that Dobbs had last year, you give him 70 more. That puts him in the 130 range, 70% catch rate. 10% yards per, he had a 10.4 yards per catch. That puts him like 70, 75 catches, right around 1,000 yards. I mean, that's throw Pepper 3-4 TDs in there. Like, that's, that puts him, that's right around where Deontay was last year, minus the touchdown. So I think that, like, back end wide receiver two production from him is great. And I've been taking him late. I've been taking a bunch of wide receivers late, hoping that one of them hits. So like the Mims of the world, the Mingos of the world, the Dobbs of the world, hoping that one of those guys hits and you end up with a wide receiver two, wide receiver three lottery ticket in double digit rounds. But I think that in looking at any of them, Dobbs is a safe pick. The one thing that I will say, he has a hamstring injury going into week one, which scares me a little bit. It scares me a little bit. That said, I'm still betting on it. I'm still taking him.
Okay. So this is just my big concern with this. Okay. Yes, Aaron Rodgers had the low passing volume last year, but he was efficient. When you look at the target accuracy, when targeting Romeo Dubs last year, it was 8.1, which was number 6 overall. Okay. I do not believe that Jordan Love is going to have the same target accuracy, which means he's going to need the volume. So if you're bullish that Jordan Love is at least a competent quarterback, which it sounds like he's going to be, then I think that's a fair take. I like Jaden Reed better, but listen, we talk about camp beats. We have our player takes. Romeo Dubs has some pretty clear chemistry with Jordan Love. I hate this take, Mike. It makes me feel sick to my stomach, but it's definitely not the worst take. And is it bold? I think it's bold. I guess it's bold because he's being drafted so late. I guess it's a bold take. I just hate it. I absolutely hate it. It makes me sick. Okay, I'm going to give you guys one of my bold takes here, and then we'll throw it to Brandon because Brandon's got a spicy one. So this one's going to be a little unpopular, especially for the Brandon Adams of the world, but I think it's not out of the range of outcomes. It's going to be bold, but I think David Montgomery outscores Jahmyr Gibbs in 2023 fantasy football this year. So my question to you, Mike, why is this a bold take? Well, David Montgomery is currently going as the RB26 at 78 overall, and Jahmyr Gibbs is going as the RB9 at 33 overall, okay? So here's the play on this, all right? So outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's going to be an absolute dominant wide receiver, it's going to be a very, very concentrated opportunity share. It's going to be Amon-Ra, it's going to be David Montgomery, and it's going to be Jahmyr Gibbs. We obviously know that historically, if you bet on these running backs that were drafted in round one, you're going to be successful, okay? I'm not saying Jahmyr Gibbs is going to have a bad season. I'm just saying I think David Montgomery is going to have a better season than people think, okay? Plus, David Montgomery was one of the higher paid, which is still sad to say when you look at the salary, but he was one of the higher paid running backs this offseason. He signed a 3-year deal for $18 million with the Detroit Lions. It included a $4.5 million signing bonus and $11 million guaranteed. That's a pretty solid contract for the running backs nowadays. They're not just going to bring him in. And listen, I understand the timeline of events, okay? Free agency happens before the NFL draft. I get it, Brandon. I get it. I'm just saying, David Montgomery, he thrives on volume. I think they're going to continue to give him the rock. Do we think that there's definitely a range of outcomes where he has double-digit touchdowns. Is he going to get 19 like Jamal Williams last year? No. But say he gets 10 or 11 touchdowns. He's still going to be competent in the passing game. He's still going to be a factor in the passing game. I think it's possible. Roast me, Brandon. Roast me now, baby, because it's
do it the now. More I keep going. Do it now. Go bet rookie of the year Jahmyr Gibbs and have a great time cashing at the end of this season. Yeah. Team fade Bijan Gibbs to the moon. Gibbs is gonna be
that should Alan be your bold Kamara. Take, bro.
He's gonna
that
be your bold take. Christian McCaffrey. He's gonna get unbelievable amounts of targets his way. There is no legitimate star besides Amon-Ra and Gibbs on this team. David Montgomery is a guy, a young guy, that didn't get signed by his home team to a second contract, okay? A guy that allowed an undrafted free agent in Khalil Herbert to outproduce David Montgomery. David Montgomery is an okay back. Jahmyr Gibbs is a special talent. I absolutely am Team Gibbs. Go bet him as a rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year. I think that is a solid, solid bet, and you're going to get good returns. I like David Montgomery as his opportunity. I get what you're saying, but I'm telling you, when Jahmyr Gibbs is lighting up that turf in Detroit and the coaches start going wild on the sideline, they're going to have a hard time taking him out of the lineup. This is all well and good now. This is all well and good about you saying David Montgomery is going to get a big role. I get that. But I just – stars, man, bet on talent. And I – Jahmyr Gibbs is just far more supremely talented. I just don't see
that. Who do you think's better? Who's a better rookie? Okay, obviously we have our crystal ball now. But who's a better rookie, Jahmyr Gibbs or Christian McCaffrey?
I was just going to go to this. This is interesting. Yeah.
Honestly,
if you had to choose, like Christian McCaffrey's rookie season, we don't know Christian.
I know what you're saying. He was RB12 his rookie season, but yeah. I know what you're saying. Where he's being drafted is where he's supposed to be drafted. You're not getting a bunch of value with Jahmyr Gibbs right now, but what you are getting is a guy that has a range of outcomes that could be Alvin Kamara. Like, this is the type of arc that he can have within that offense, especially with a stationary statue quarterback in Jared Goff. The guy's going to be dumping it off constantly, especially when Amon-Ra is going to have 2-3 men all over him, draped all over him, all over the field. He's going to be checking that ball down to his elite pass-catching back. And David Montgomery just won't be in the two-minute drills. He won't be in those situations. I think in the high-value target areas, I think they are going to be throwing Gibbs in there because, A, he's explosive, and they took him at the top 12 for a reason. There's a reason for it.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. But I mean, like,
but for value, I see Montgomery. David Montgomery.
David Montgomery still had an almost 12% target share last year, which ranked number 12. So it's not like he's a slouch in the passing game either. And when you look at Jahmyr Gibbs in college, okay, where was he effective? It was in the passing game, absolutely, yes. Right? His last season, he had 44 receptions, a total of 444 receiving yards. But he only had 150 rush attempts because he's not a big dude, right? So I don't think it's realistic to say that Jahmyr Gibbs, especially as a rookie, is going to go in as an every down, three down back, and they're just going to absolutely use them like they are some of these.
They don't have to use them like that to make
him. That's my point. They don't have to because they're going to have a player like David Montgomery. He's a veteran. They paid him. They're going to trust him with the rock in his hands. I'm a little worried that Jahmyr Gibbs is not going to perform. And I understand why he's being drafted as the RB9, because he has that nuclear upside. If things go well, if he gets, I don't know, 80, 90 targets, 60, 70 receptions, he's going to finish as a top four, top five.
Yes.
Running.
Yes.
Back. That's in a range of outcomes. But the bull case, or excuse me, the bearish case on Jahmyr Gibbs is the fact that most of those high caloric touches in the red zone on the goal line are going to go to the bigger back, David Montgomery. David Montgomery is still going to be present on third downs. Like, when you try to think about the usage, do you think that it's going to be, okay, one series, Jahmyr Gibbs is going to get all the touches?
No, I think they're going to be on the field at the same time a lot. I think he's going to be moved out to the slot, to the Z. Montgomery's going to be in the backfield. And that is a great way to utilize both on the field at the same time. Having a decoy in Montgomery, the guy that can actually run the rock a little bit, but have that explosive upside with Jahmyr within the offense. I see that happening. Yeah.
If you're Jared Goff, okay, and you have David Montgomery in your backfield, you've got Jahmyr Gibbs lined up in a slot, and then in the X position, you've got Amon-Ra St. Brown over there. Who's your hot read going to be? Who's your hot read going to be? Who's going to be your first read? It's every single time. It's going to be Amon-Ra. It's going to be the Sun God, right? Like, I think we're all very, very bullish on the Sun God this year. He's got wide receiver one in his range of outcomes.
Yes.
That's what my concern is, right? When they're in those situations, if both running backs are going to be deployed, then they're probably not going to be going to Jahmyr Gibbs.
They're going to be going to Amon-Ra. Air in that situation a lot more. I'm excited. I get what you're saying, yeah. though. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay. So that was my little wet blanket take. So I just had to do a Mike Dickinson thing here. Love okay, it. Boys. We're running a little bit short on time here. Wow, 45 minutes came in.
Here, let me just spit out a few.
So that I have. Brandon, give me a few of your good ones. Mike, if you got a few, and then just for fun, boys, I'm gonna read a few more of Flex Matt's because hey, that's why we're here to have fun. Okay, Brandon, give me a few hot takes.
Tony Pollard finishes as an RB1, as the RB1, and has his Austin Eckler full breakout RB1 season. He is going to absolutely explode. The reason why is this. Even though Tony Pollard did what he did last year, he still ran for 1,000 yards, had 371 receiving yards, 39 receptions, and 12 touchdowns total. He did that on a snap share of only 50.9%. That's 30th in the league for RBs. That is not going to happen this year. You can expect his snap share to bump up and be up, especially in the red zone. I see Tony Pollard finishing with at least, I think he has 16 to 17 touchdowns in the range of outcomes, becomes RB1 of the season this year. Hot it's take, RB1. Also, one more, or two more. Two rookie tight ends are going to finish in the top 12 tight end position this year between Laporta, Musgrave, Kincaid, and Mayer. Two of those guys are going to have enough volume to succeed and be tight end ones this year. Another fun one that I got that I think is really spicy is Sam Howell is going to outscore Anthony Richardson in 2023.
That's a bold one.
100%. 100% he is.
Yep.
100%.
So you guys must have like 100% Sam Howell exposure.
I do. I have so much Sam Howell.
I have more than I'm proud to admit.
Yes. I have so much more. And I think Anthony Richardson leads the league in interceptions and turnovers. Yeah.
Here's the problem with Sam Howell is that we're all on him and we all play in leagues together. So we can't.
I know. It's not good. So he goes way higher. So it's just what it is. As long as we get, you know, a little bit of them here and there. But, dude, best ball, I got them everywhere.
Love to hear it. Mike, rattle off a few of your bold takes, please.
All right, so I got to stay with the Washington Redskins, stay in the NFC East. This is the year that Antonio Gibson finally returns value. Last year, Ron Rivera was saying that he was worried about Gibson. Gibson wasn't ready. He wasn't up to speed. This year, Rivera is saying that they need to tap into Gibson's skill set more. He's the key to unlocking their offense. You look at Eric Bieniemy, who somehow, under Andy Reid, made Jarrett fucking McKinnon a thing. Guess what? Antonio Gibson is going to be a thing. He's a better running back than Brian Robinson is. He's a three-down running back. Brian Robinson is a great story. Brian Robinson is great when you need short yardage. I've never been high on Antonio Gibson because of his seeming fragility, but I think this is the year where we finally see what Antonio Gibson can be. I'm not saying he's going to be a top six running back, but I think that where I've been taking him round seven, round eight, something like that, for him to finish as a mid-tier RB2, I think is well within the range of outcomes. And in my zero RB builds, I love it. Zero RB and hero RB, I absolutely love him. Going next, rookie tight ends. I think Michael Mayer will be the top producing rookie tight end. Yep. Yeah, I think that Hunter Renfro fades into oblivion this year. I don't think Jacoby Meyer is what we think he's going to be. When you look at what Josh McDaniels did in New England with those tight ends, I think he has every intention of doing that with Mayer. And then my last take is this is play the funeral dirge. We have seen the end of Cooper Kupp as a fantasy RB, wide receiver one. Watching that draft, it's like Alan Seslowski did a he and Mario Puig hosted a podcast. Alan Seslowski, he hosted a stakes draft last night, and Cooper Kupp went as wide receiver 13, and I think that that's right about where he should be going. So RIP Cooper Kupp.
I was pissed that I didn't take Garrett Wilson over him in our draft, and I'm gonna be kicking my own butt for that for the rest of the year, because Garrett Wilson, top three wide receiver, book it.
Mike, on that Kupp, is that more so a you think he's going to be dealing with health issues this year, or even if he's healthy on the field, you still think he's going to turn into a pumpkin?
I think it's a litany of issues. I think it is health issues. I said this to somebody last night. I feel the same way about him as I felt about Julio Jones when we saw the beginning of the end of him. This could be similar to what Julio Jones's last year was in Atlanta because of injuries to the receiver, but also because of the quarterback situation. Matt Stafford is old. Matt Stafford has made a ton of money. Matt Stafford is injured. That offensive line is terrible. By the end of the year, we could see Stetson Bennett as quarterback. And if we see that, I think that the Rams have packed it in. I think Aaron Donald's going to be traded. I think we could see Matt Stafford be traded. I think we could see Kupp be traded. So I just don't think that – I don't think his – and now on a per-game basis, I think he'll be great, but I just think he's going to miss time. And I think that he's going to have – I think he's going to have some absolute duds and some dogs. And I think that he's now a wide receiver too.
Looking at the NFFC here in terms of Cooper Kupp's ADP, so he was going definitively right around the fourth, fifth pick overall. It was oftentimes a choice between him or Travis Kelce that people were making. He's now right at the turn. This is based off the last series of 3 days of ADP data. He's now behind AJ Brown, behind Amon-Ra St. Brown at the 12th, so right around that 1-2 turn. So
we were so sharp. We were on Amon-Ra so early. We were taking him over Kupp. We were doing the right thing early. People need to start listening to this podcast more and more because this is where you get some hot takes. And I'm excited because a lot of our takes are panning out this year so far with some of
there
our
is so far. Receivers. There hasn't been a snap, Brandon.
Undefeated in week zero, baby. No, I'm just saying like where we were taking people early. We were early on Ridley. We're early on Amon-Ra. We're well ahead of people on ADP with Pollard. Like we were ahead of people on Gibbs. We were ahead of people on Mixon. We were ahead of people on Trevor Lawrence. Like, if you go back and listen to our podcast this summer and you started drafting when we were telling you to start drafting these people, you have some sick lineups going. I'm excited for people that listen and cashed in earlier with our podcast.
Exciting, exciting. Okay, we got a question here from Miles in the chat. He's got the first overall pick. Should he draft CMC over Justin Jefferson?
Jefferson.
No. Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, you're going Justin Jefferson here. It's just range of outcomes. JJ is just so reliable. And right around that 2-3 turn, you're going to have the opportunity to, if you want a running back, to go and get a running back. Yes. So take Justin Jefferson, take the points, and then wide receivers are being gobbled up. So there's often you're going to find there's going to be running back value at that 2-3 turn. So
Jacobs will be there.
Yeah, Jacobs will be there. Ramondre Stevenson is going to be there. Let me just pull up the board actually here real quick.
Jacobs, Mixon will be available if you want to wait. Yeah.
Oftentimes Derrick Henry is there. That's probably the range you're going to be looking at. So definitely go Justin Jefferson. Don't overthink it. Just sometimes you got to play the chalk. That's all it is. Okay. I got one last trash bag one, which isn't the trashiest trash bag, but it's still a little bit trashy. So we got to read it here. Okay. This is again from a guy, Flex Matt. This is with regards to the rookie wideouts. So these rookie wideouts, Jalen Hyatt, Jordan Addison, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Marvin Mims, Rashee Rice, and Zay Flowers will all have at least 700 receiving yards. And in the range of outcomes, potentially Jaden Reed and Puka Nacua and Tank Dell all could be in that range.
Sure.
The one player that we're not talking about and is the wide receiver 4 in his current depth chart, which I think is BS, Quentin Johnson will not have 700 receiving yards this season.
Hot take right here.
Yeah.
Quentin Johnson is the most productive Charger wide receiver this year.
And if he will finish as the wide receiver 1 for the rookies, if that is the case, because listen, the only way I see that being the case is if both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams get injured.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's the only
You're right.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably going to happen.
If both the guys who have significant injury histories get injured again, then Quentin Johnson will be the wide receiver 1.
All they got to do is have both of them miss like 4 games, and he's solid. He's going to outproduce everybody.
We got a question here. I'm going to assume this is Miles Sanders. So, and I'm going to also assume this is just a redraft for this season. So, would you rather have Miles Sanders and Mike Evans or J.K. Dobbins and DJ Moore? Like this Dobbins, is a DJ no-brainer Moore. For me. Yeah. 100% Dobbins and DJ Moore for sure. Hayden, 100%. Go with that. All right, boys, that's it. I had a hard stop 10 minutes ago, and yet here we are. So, so much to talk about. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being with us all off season. Next week, Brandon's not going to be on the show because he's going to be hailing from Japan. So that's going to be fantastic. You're going to have to share some pictures, brother. That's going to be a sweet, sweet trip for you. But we're going to be here next week. We're going to be our – it's going to be our first look at week one. Obviously, at that point, we'll have a one game in the books. But go to DFSArmy.com. We love talking about season-long fantasy football on this show. But the thing, the area of our expertise, what pays the bills for us is our DFS content. Go to DFSArmy.com. Make sure you use the promo code NFL23 when you sign up. You're going to save 15% off of any VIP, Core 4, or NFL-only membership. And here's the thing, Mike. Here's the thing, Brandon. We have real winners, people that are our members that have won life-changing money. We have multiple milli winners that subscribe to DFS Army using our tools. DFSArmy.com. We just launched a brand new site. It's sleek. It's sexy. You're going to want to go check it out. DFSArmy.com. Thank you for tuning in all off season. We're just getting started. This is when the rubber meets the road. As they say, NFL football is here. Enjoy next Thursday.
Public service announcement. Keep your Thursday players out of your flex positions. Put them in your running back, your wide receiver, your quarterback positions.
Yes, there
keep
you
them
go.
Out of your flex spots.
Oh, that's a really – just people, get back to the damn basics. And
yes,
for all of you who just were obsessed with drafting teams and you got 17 teams, go start setting your lineups now. Don't wait until
round
4 because there's not much that's going to go change. Go start setting lineups now. Don't make that mistake. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the DFS Army Fantasy Football Show. Enjoy week one of the NFL season, baby. We made it!